Lord, we thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that we can be together in this way. Give us an ear to hear, Lord. Give us honest and upright hearts tonight, that we will look at ourselves, Lord, and to measure where do I stand in correlation with eternity. Help us, Lord Jesus, please. Bless this time together, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, there's a scripture that I would like you to read with you. 2 Timothy. The second chapter. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now this is a very important portion of scripture, and I am so glad that you came. I know that if you came to a camp like this, we can speak straight. And it is the prayer of my heart that we will heed and that we will be obedient. Because we know that Samuel says that obedience is greater than the fat of rams. It is important for us to be obedient. Let me also read to you Acts 19. Let's page there quickly. Verse 2 and 3. Let's read from verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Spirit since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. Now, we see here that Paul could sense it. When he met them, he immediately picked up they were not spirit-filled. Is that possible? Oh, yes, sir. It is. God, the Holy Spirit, will give utterance. If you come into the presence of a spirit-filled man or woman of God, you will know it. There's no doubt. You will know it. And you are on a camp like this, that is already for me a good sign. I see that there's a urging you to go out and to share this wonderful message that you have here. And it is indeed a wonderful message. I have often found that people say, Christians say, oh, but I can't testify. I haven't got such a spectacular testimony. That is not the truth. The fact that you came out, that Jesus came into your heart, is the greatest testimony of this world. You have a message. Go out and be obedient. But I will, if the Lord permit me, I will fill in a little bit. How do I get there? There is a way there. And it goes through obedience. Very, very sharp obedience. I remember, I was born and raised, or not born, but came there as a little boy in Namibia, Southwest Africa. And my parents sent me down to the Cape, as many other parents did. The schools in the Cape were good, and they sent us down. And I went through all the paraphernalia. I'm just going to cut it short a bit. Many nights I was lying, because of the heat, I grew up in the Kalahari. Of the heat, during the day, the houses didn't cool off. They were like ovens. So every night we took our beds out, and we slept on the lawns. It was lovely. Many nights my parents were long asleep already, and I was lying and watching this fantastic stars. Because there the light is very clean, and it's very dark. and it is just spectacular. And I thought, there must be something more than what I experience in my heart. There must be something more. But I could never reach Jesus. My parents subsequently were divorced. And that is a terrible thing. It broke me. I slowly became more and more depressed. And miserable. And the devil came many times and he tempted me from this side and that side. And then eventually I made matric there in Pau, down in the Republic. And I went up back to Southwest Africa, Namibia. And there was a college there, an agricultural college. At that time, very sought after. They were top class in the Karakul pelts. I don't know whether you remember that. They were in fashion very much that time, very expensive and exclusive. And I studied hard and I got my diploma. And then I decided, but if you have had at that time a diploma in agriculture in Namibia, of Noidam Agricultural College, the banks gave you money just like that, no problem. But I thought, no, I'm not going to, I've got my diploma now, but I'm not going to take 100% a loan, which they were willing to give me. I'd rather go and work for a while. And then I applied on the diamond mines, I got the work, and I worked very hard. I made quick progress, and during that time I also married, and then all of a sudden a very high or a top security job on the mines came up. This was now to fill the position of second in charge of the sorting house. Now at that time Oranje Mont, CDM, was one of the richest diamond mines in the world. Was very rich, very high percentage gem quality. We had something like 95% gem quality. Fantastic, very big stones. And I applied for the job, and because I did good work, they trusted me, and I got it. I got the job. Now I was second in charge of the sorting house. But remember, this depression was with me all the time. I now started dabbling into the Eastern religions. Even lightly into the occult, because I was searching. I couldn't fulfill. I had a void in here and I couldn't fill it. And this unhappiness with my parents, just to fill you in, the government says, or the law says, if they are divorced, one half of the holiday you go to your mother and other half to your father. And I loved both. And it was terrible for me. I was torn in two. And this depression just went deeper and deeper. And while I was working in the sorting house, the devil came to me and he said, if you have a lot of money, you'll be happy. And I believed him. I wanted to be happy. I wanted fulfillment. I wanted with all my heart. And I started stealing diamonds. I was now in a position that I know diamonds very well. And I was in a position, there was virtually no check on me. I was second in charge, as I said, and no check on me, and I started stealing and looked for the best. I thought I will do it once and never again. So I stole them, tucked them away, until I thought, this is enough. If they catch me now, they'll put me so far in the jail that they'll never come out there. But if they don't catch me, I'll be all right. So my problem was to get it out the mines. I had to work with a security man. And there was a guy working on the mines for security, working on the mines to make enough money to buy a farm in Namibia. We had a lot in common. And I went to see him one night and I told him what I was busy with. And we made a pact. We decided we'll work together. I'll give him a percentage. And one night on the change of the shift, he was working security. I had the diamonds on me. And as I came up to be x-rayed, he put the machines off and I walked through with a fortune. No one knew in this world. Shortly after that, I resigned from the mines. I started working in Worcester, not so very far from here, in a bank, just to let the dust settle a bit. But let me tell you this quickly, I forgot this. During this time at the mines, my wife expected our firstborn, my son. And she couldn't give normal birth. The doctor decided to do a cesarean cut. But that night, prior to the cesarean, I guarded there over her and I encouraged her through the night. And I touched her belly. And I could feel the baby kicking underwater. The next day, they did the operation, and the next moment the theater room door flung open and there was a great big nurse standing with green cloths in her arms. She said, "I've got a little present for you." And she took it away and there was this beautiful little baby kicking and crying. I realized a wonderful miracle happened here. Because the previous night, if I touched her belly, I could feel him kicking underwater. If I would take that same baby now and put it underwater, he will drown and die. So a mighty miracle happened there. But still, nothing happened inside me. I was still searching. And then I went to the bank. They appointed me eventually. Now I was on the roll, and they, on the roll of the bank, and they decided to transfer me to Fredendal on the west coast. And I started working, and I did very well. I started a department in the bank right from scratch, and it went very well. During that time, I got a boil on my backside, and the doctor had to cut it, and I went to lie down. But I wasn't sick, but I was just uncomfortable. And someone sent me a little plastic bag full of cassette tapes with sermons on. And I thank God always for these preachers. They were men of God. They weren't pabruka. Do you understand the term pabruk? If you don't, then ask someone. Ask an Afrikaner. They were men of God that spoke straight. That cut the word straight. And there I heard for the first time that if you are not born again and washed in the blood of Christ, you'll go to hell. And that was a difficult thing for me. I'd rejected that message in the beginning. I did not like it. But slowly as I listened, something in my heart told me that God was working through these tapes. And eventually more and more I started listening. And during that time, the 8th of April, no, sorry, the Easter weekend came, 1985, and we decided to go and visit my mother-in-law, only 100 or so kilometers from us. We went there, my wife had to drive, and I was sitting and half sitting and lying with this wound, and I had my tape recorder with me. And during that weekend, God spoke to me. I sensed clearly I was before like a precipice. I had to take a decision. There's no more playing around. I sensed that in these messages, this emptiness inside, there was an answer to this emptiness. There was a way out for me. And then I got confidence more. On the 8th of April 1985, that morning I woke up with a clear calling, a clear decision in my heart. Today I am going to, with God's help, I'm going to plead with Him to bring an end to this life of misery and emptiness and lostness. Call it what you want. I was sick and tired of nonsense. I couldn't stand it anymore. I knew there was something more. I knew it. And then I walked down, I prayed. I said, "Lord Jesus, please be with me now. I want to be alone with you." It was the Easter weekend of 1985, and that morning when I came down at the beach, there was not a soul there. It was desolate. God worked in such a way. I went and I sat on the rocks and I spoke to God as I'm speaking to you now. I said, "Lord Jesus, I cannot go on like this. I cannot. But I ask you, Lord, please come and change my heart. Please. He touched me there. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget it. When I got up from the rocks that day, I knew I was saved. There was a lot of tears there. God showed me in a split second my whole life playing off in front of me like a high-speed film. I walked home, but I told no one. I was shy. I did not tell my wife, my mother-in-law, my children. I didn't. But I sensed in my heart, I must share this great joy that I have now in my heart with someone. But I kept quiet. Now, that was now on the Monday, the 8th of April. That Friday, it was a good old friend of mine. He was in the opposition bank. We were good house friends. And it was his wife's 40th birthday. And they had a party, a great party. And we were also invited there. And that evening, we walked in. And they offered me cigarettes. I said, no, thank you. They offered me a beer, a red wine. I was a red wine lover. I said, no, thank you. Pour me Coke. And they looked at me, but still no one said anything. I didn't say anything either. I was just quiet. But I sensed in my heart, tonight you will have to stand for Jesus. Munia pabruk vesni. There it comes again. You must find out what that word means. Don't forget it. Pabruk. It's very important. We cannot be pabruk. If we're Christians, we must stand for Christ with all our hearts. So, we had a lovely meal. She's a very good cook and so on and everything. And after the meal, all the furniture was now put to the side. And our favorite tango was put. She was a very good dancer, and I loved to dance with her always. And she put the favorite tango on, and everyone was watching her. Now remember, her 40th birthday, all the eyes was on her, and she walked straight to my seat. And I was shying away, but she came. She bowed before me. She said, come on, George, this is just for us. And then I decided, no, not. I said to her, sorry, and I said her name, I cannot dance with you. She said, what is going on with you? All evening you're so quiet. What is going on? Normally I'm the belle of the ball. And I said, no, I'm sorry. Monday I met Christ, and I've decided to follow him with all my heart. I'm finished with the things of the world. They laughed and they scoffed. But I knew in my heart that was my first victory. You will never stand if you are not clean. Remember that. You will always be quiet sitting in the corner listening to the others. But we'll come to that. It is important, beloved. You've got to have a clean heart. Otherwise, you'll always be a limping Christian. That is why we're on this camp. We will hear great truths this weekend. But you've got to be clean. God will not work through you if you haven't got a clean heart. It's impossible. So, then God started working slowly. Shortly after that, Kwasi Zabantu, our mission, had a camp down in the Cape. And I, shortly after my conversion, just days after my conversion, I met two diamond divers, two young guys, very fit and brown and full of the Lord. They're both Christians. And I heard of this camp down in Wellington, of Kwasi Zabantu. And when they said it, I was prompted in my heart as if the Lord said to me, go. I went there, I booked in a guest house with my two diamond friends, diamond divers, and we went to the camp. And God spoke to me. From the first sermon, God spoke to me very intensely. And after the first service, I went to Uncle Erlo, the director of our mission. I went and I sat down and I told him my whole story. But now I was so full of the Lord. I did not want to do anything with diamonds and nonsense. And I prayed with him and he said, Lord, show your child what is to be done next. After I told him that whole story, shortly after that, I decided that I'm going to set this thing right. I sat down one afternoon, I wrote the board of directors of the mine a letter. I told them I was now a Christian. I asked them for forgiveness that I stole from them. I told the whole story. I brought everything to the light. But I undertook to give everything back. Now in South Africa, if you confess a serious crime, the state will make a case against you. I had to wait for 2 weeks on the Attorney General to decide whether he was going to put me in jail or not. And after 2 weeks, I received a letter from him, personally undersigned, Mr. Latekgang, that I've been acquitted. I praise God for that. I started sending back money that I had on investments, shares. I had huge investments. I gave it all back. I bought a farm up in the north. I gave that back. And cash and things. I gave it all back. As I did that, I was prompted. God prompted me in my heart. There's certain unfinished business. And this is important, Christian. I want you to listen. If there's unfinished business in your life, you will not make progress in the kingdom of God. Shall I repeat that? Don't play around with God. Don't play vakkereperki. That's nonsense. If there's unfinished business from the past, ask Him. Lord, show me. And be obedient. Don't shy away. For me, I decided in my heart, if they put me in jail, all right, let it be so. Then God wants to use me there. But be obedient. Whatever sin or trespass you've committed in the past, be obedient. Sharp obedience. Or otherwise, you'll always be just a normal wishy-washy Christian with a small c. Deal with your sins. He prompted me and I wrote it down. Things that God, the Holy Spirit, that is why He came. To convict us of sin. And it is a wonderful thing. Some of the sins that I've committed in the past that I thought would be there on my notes wasn't there. Not because I hid them, they were just gone. They were forgiven, the blood washed them. Jesus' blood has washed them away. Just like that. But some that I've forgotten long time ago came up. And I wrote that. I wrote them. I said, Lord, I want to be free. You give it to me, Lord. I will not hide one thing. And He brought it to me. Just the one after the other. And it's a wonderful thing. Some of them years before. Committed sins years before. And they came up. And I wrote them. And then when I sensed in my heart it is now finished, I said, Lord, now send me a good man. I want to confess them. I want to bring them to the light. Send me a good man that I can trust. And He did it. He sent me a young man full of the Holy Spirit. Lovely young man. I made an appointment with him. And I went that afternoon to his home. We prayed together and I read it down. I confessed them one after the other. I did not try to color it in to give it a nice look or to make it look better. I confessed it as it was. And God honors it. After that, we prayed together and I went home. I flew home. I was flying. During that time, I sensed there was something wrong. I sensed I was losing some of it that I got. And then I sensed that my relationship with my father, with my stepfather, wasn't right. I hated him. And God showed me that. And I started wrestling with the Lord. Lord, no, but it's His fault. It's not me. But I sensed I was sliding downwards. I was losing this wonderful joy that I had. And then one afternoon, I sat down and I talked to the Lord as I'm speaking to you. I said, Lord, I can sense that I'm sliding backwards. And I don't want to lose one half an inch of what I've got. What is it, Lord? But all, I asked the Lord, but I knew in my heart what it was. The Lord will never keep you in suspense. Is that the right word? He will never keep you in suspense. He will tell you exactly. And do exactly as He tells you. Don't try to give it a nice color or, you know, to make it look good. Confess the thing as it is. The Lord honors that. He honors it. He loves it. And then I asked the Lord, Lord, must I phone him? Must I go and see him personally? Or can I write a letter? And I experienced the Lord prompted me, write a letter. A letter is always a good thing because a person that received the letter can read it and can put it away and read it again. So I wrote him a letter. And it was all things that I have done wrong against him. Not the other way around. I hated him for things that he's never done. And then, let me tell you this. At that time we were farming in Namibia, as I said, in the Kalahari. My stepfather, he started from nothing. It was really a success story. He had later 7 farms. He had a lot of cattle. He was rich. But my sister, my stepsister, him and my mother had 3 children, 3 daughters. The eldest one, Esme, she drove the lorry. She drove the lorry full of cattle from Namibia to the Cape, to the abattoirs. Why? Where was this young man sitting at home full of bitterness? And all of that I had to bring to the light. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. It was all my fault. And that day I will never forget. When I was finished and I folded that letter and I put it in the post and sent it off, I was free. Jesus wants us to be free. If there is the slightest bitterness in your heart, beloved, get rid of it. Don't exalt yourself. If you go in sincerity on your knees and you speak to God straight, He will give you a straight answer. He will never play hide and seek with you. He is God and He loves us and He wants us to be strong Christians that stand for Him in this dark age that we are in. Now question yourself there where you sit. Am I being used of God or not? Am I leaning on my parents? Or whoever. I promise you, beloved, if you are honest with Him, this weekend is your appointment with Him. I will be also available still tonight. I'm flying early tomorrow morning, but come. Even if it's 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm willing to pray with you. Because I know the value of this. It is precious to have a clean heart before God. Nothing. Nothing clean, clean. A wonderful thing. And you can have it. If you're a weak Christian, get rid of that. Deal with the things and the beauty of this thing. He will never make you think, oh, what can this be? Or what? He will point it out to you straight. I'm sure, with all my heart, while I'm speaking, there are things in you that He's prompting you already now, this moment. Don't be shy or don't be too proud. If God prompts you this moment, things that there's outstanding business, don't let the devil tempt you and say, no man, wait till the next camp, man, wait. He knows the value of a clean heart, the devil. God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. If you are not Spirit-filled, there must be a problem. The fact that you are here this weekend tells me something about you. And it gives me respect for you. Now deal with it. Don't hide behind the others. Go out. God honors it. If you are faithful and you are upright, He will show you exactly. And bring it to the light. Go to a counselor that God show you. There are many of them around here. Men of God. Go to them. And confess it. He will clean you. And then what is very important. We at Malmesbury, we have a small mission there, small farm. And we get many drug addicts and so on that come there. And we teach them, confess your sins and then go back on your tracks. Go and set things right that are between you and God. You won't have to just think your kop breek. Not. God, the Holy Spirit, will prompt you about that thing. Oh Lord, I remember that word that I said to that man, or whatever. That night I became so drunk with that young man or that lady and did things that wasn't right. Do it. Go back on your tracks and write it. Don't hide it. If you experience that you haven't got power in your spiritual life, it is because of unconfessed sins. Finish. That is it. It is because probably you are too proud. You don't want to bring those terrible things to the light. But I can promise you that if you bring it to the light until you come to a point where the Holy Spirit give you utterance that it is now clean, you'll see how God will work through you. A wonderful thing to be an instrument in God's hands. Perhaps you've been a Christian a long time, but you've never spoken to anyone about Christ. I heard the other day, they had a sermon somewhere, and they called the people to the front that's been with the Lord for a long time. One man got up, he said that he was a Christian for 18 years, and no one in his whole area, and it is a small area where everyone knows everyone's business. He said, I've been a Christian for 18 years and no one knows it. It's a terrible crime. It's a crime against God. And the way to get there, to get power from Christ, is to confess your sins. Don't hide it. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says that he who covers his sins will never prosper. He that wants to hide it, he will never prosper. You can come to me. If there's terrible things in your past, you will not beat me, my friend. But if you confess it straight out, I will not listen to your sins. I will be there as a witness. It is not a quasi-zabantu thing. It's a biblical truth. Martin Luther said that he cannot be happy until he go and prompt his sins into the ear of his counselor. Let us do that. Humble yourself. You can test it. No, I will not do that. I will go on as I am. And then stay alone as you are. You can test it. But if you are serious about this and you confess your sins honestly, God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. There is a possibility that you are a Christian, but you're a half a Christian, limping Christian. God doesn't want that. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, that He can send you. Look at this world. Look at the terrible state of this world. God wants men and women of God. We are here for this lovely weekend. It is excellent time. Don't go around and talk nonsense to the others. Go one side and get quiet. It'll be the best time of your life. Go into the woods, not too far, girls, where you're nice and private, and sit down and pray. Say, Lord, show me my sins. Perhaps there's a possibility that you've never even made a commitment to Jesus. That is also true. That can also be. Then come to one of the brethren here and come and pray with them. It is not a skanda. What is this? It's not a shame. It's not a shame if God prompt you and tell you that you've never really made a commitment to Christ. Come then, that today will be the first day. Go and accept Him as your personal Savior. And say, Lord, now show me. And you'll see this exciting thing. It's exciting if you experience the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And the wonderful thing of this, if you don't withhold, if you don't, no, oh, this thing is terrible, Lord. I'm not going to write this, Lord, no. Then it will stop. But if you see that you are honest and you write as He prompts you, it's exciting. Then you can go to one of them and confess it in the midst of men of God. And you'll see how He will change it. He will change your whole life. I will never forget it. After I confessed my sins, the Lord just filled me with the Holy Spirit. It was wonderful until today. 28 years. And it's exciting for me. It's wonderful. I'll tell you a little secret. I actually forgot about this lot today. And I felt terrible about it. And I phoned Terran and I said, Terran, I'm now in trouble. Can you please change the slot because I'm leaving early tomorrow morning? And thank God they changed it for me to share it with you. It is a joy for me to do it because I know there is nothing that you can compare with a clean heart. There is nothing that you compare with that. And the moment something comes in, you have the Holy Spirit. He came to be the umpire. Immediately, he will blow the whistle. Sorry, Lord. And go back and ask for forgiveness. Whatever it is. Be sharp on the prompting of God's Holy Spirit. Or you can sit here and you just, like a duck, the water on your back and it just flows off you. You don't worry about that. Then stay as you are. But if you're interested to become a spirit-filled Christian, this is the way to go. Cleanse your heart. And you will see what He will do. He might call you to places that you've never thought in your life. Today I'm going with Doctors for Life. We're going into Africa. We go right into the bush. They do sophisticated eye operations. And I go with them. It's exciting. God takes you to places that you've never thought of. You can ask young Peter here. He goes all over the world. He even gets phone calls from, what was the other night?
Alaska.
Now look at that. You can also. You can. Don't let the devil lie to you. Let today be the last day that he lies to you. Stop with that. Start with this thing that I told you now. You heard it. Now the ball is in your court. You know exactly. You are an entity. You have the Holy Spirit. God will prompt you, and if you bring it to the light, He will be with you. He will honor it. Some of the things that I brought to the light was terrible. But I said, Lord Jesus, you've done such a great work for me. I want it out. It's got to come out. I don't want it anymore in my life. And the Lord was gracious. Today we have a mission there. And people come for help, and we work many times closely with Peter and them. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be one in Christ in this godless time that we're living in. I want to ask you personally, do you have an effect there where you stay? Do the people know that you are a spiritful child of God? Will they go to you if they've got troubles and they want... One evening he's prompted by the Holy Spirit and he feels that he must pray with someone. Will he choose you to go to for prayer? Or are you just a secret agent? No one knows exactly where you stand. You're compromising with this and with that and with all the nonsense. Stop with it. Stop compromising. Why are you here this weekend? If you are faithful in your heart, you must promise, you must answer me in your heart. Why are you here? You are here for a purpose. You can go back this weekend with a totally new vision. A totally new vision. With a spirit-filled heart that's on fire for Christ. Don't be a fool. I've been a fool for a long time. You can stop it. Say, Lord, work in my heart. Use the time profitably. God be with you. He will be with you. May the Lord be with you. It's a prayer of my heart that we will have an ear to hear. Whatever He shows you, deal with it. And God will be with you. There's just something that I want to touch on quickly, and then I'll be finished. There's a text. When there's things in your house, after you've turned to the Lord, and there's things in your house that you're uncomfortable with, go on your knees and say, Lord, what in this house is not to your honor? There might be curio. I was a great lover of Ovambu masks. And the Lord dealt with that. If there's anything unclean in your house, in your makeup, ask the Lord to show you that. And bring it. You can burn it on your own in the backyard, or get someone. You know Peter now. You ask one of the guys, or Peter. You have a little fire service and burn it. Burn it. Get it out of your life. It might be a hindrance. Settle it for once and for all. That God can be with you. That there's nothing unclean in your makeup. That you are clean. God will work wonderfully through you. May the Lord bless you. Rivers of living water. John 7. I'll give it to you. Just you can paste there quickly, and with that we close. John 7 verse 37. He says, In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture says, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." God, the Holy Spirit, will fill you, and you will be filled till overflowing, that you are a bundle of life, that living water will flow from you, that you will bring life wherever you go, where you will make a difference, and that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit so you can stand for Christ amidst this terrible, depraved and wicked environment and situation that we are in. God is looking for men and women spiritual that He can work through. Don't stop Him. He will never stop short. If you're willing, He will go as far as he can. Fill you with Holy Spirit and make you a true man and woman of God that can stand. Just think of that great day. One of us in this room is going to die first. I don't know who. My plane can tomorrow fall. And then I'm dead. Then I stand before God. I might be the first, but I might be the last. I don't know who's God going to choose first here. Are you going to stand with hanging arms, not meaning anything for Him? Or will you go with confidence to stand before Him? That you've accomplished what He set out for you. He's got a wonderful plan for you, but you sit with the keys in your hand. Stop with that thing in your life. Let us give God a chance. He will never work through people that compromise. That thing, if there's worldly things in your life, things that you are attached to, that I'm thinking of the mass media. It's terrible what goes on there today. You can confess it. If you are caught in pornography and nonsense, you can stop it. Don't be too shy. God wants to lead you out of that nonsense and make you a spiritual man and woman of God. But you've got to part with it. It won't just blow away. It will not blow away. I can promise you that. If He prompts you of a weakness in your spiritual makeup that is not from Him, take confidence. You can go to Peter anytime. Don't be too shy. If you are too shy, that shows me you are proud. And God resists the proud. Do I make myself clear? God resists the proud. But if you humble yourself, God will be with you. Tell Him of that weakness. I've been in pornography for years. I cannot look at a woman with a clean heart. I've got to undress her in my mind. Stop with that. Stop giving the devil a chance. Go back and go and humble yourself. If you want to pray with me, I'm there next to Peter in the bungalow up there. God wants to work through you. That is why you are here this weekend. I thank God that you're here. Now go right through. Don't stop short. If you're honest, he will not stop short. He's God Almighty. He will be with you. May God help you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Peter.
Let's have an open time of prayer, and then we'll have opportunity if anyone wants to ask any questions of Uncle George. So let's pray, and perhaps three or four would just like to, where you are, stand up and just pray out loud so we can all give a hearty amen. Let's respond to this word and pray. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Let's pray.
Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your love for us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and you shed your blood, you died in our place, pay for our sins. Father, thank you that you have called us and said, whoever comes to me, you will in no wise drive away. Lord Jesus, we just stand on your word where it says that if any man confesses sins, that you will forgive them by the blood of Jesus, Lord. And we just thank you for this privilege, Lord, that we who are sinners can come to you and have our sins washed away. Father, this is a gift that many of us take lightly. Lord, we just thank you for this message tonight, where you've highlighted the fact that it's at a great cost that our sins have been washed away. So tonight, Lord, I just want to specifically thank you that you have died in our place and that there is forgiveness of our sins when we come to you and we confess our sins. We thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Lord, we'd just like to pray in these verses of Psalm 130, first four verses. Out of the depths of my cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? For there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Help us remember that during this time.
Lord God, we thank and praise you for your grace and your mercy that can break through our sin and bring us to our knees in repentance and restitution. We thank you, Lord God, for how you rescue us out of the miry clay and out of the pit. We thank you, Lord God, for your power that rescues us from the kingdom of darkness and brings us into the freedom and the liberty of the children of God. Lord, what a privilege it is that we can call you Lord and Father, that we can count you as our Savior, our Lord, our Sovereign God. Help us, Lord God, to see our sins as you see them, that we would hate it. And we pray, Lord God, that you would enable us to see your cross just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that we may see you lifted up. We know, Lord God, that you are the only way, the truth, and life. No one comes to Father but by you. You did not die that we could sin and get away with it. You did not die to make it easy and safe for us to sin. You died to destroy the works of the devil and to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness, to set us free. We pray, Lord God, that you would deal with us here at this camp, that you would speak to us straight, that, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd give us the courage and the ability and the grace to respond to your word in faith, in obedience, in repentance. We praise you, Lord God, that the gospel is a message of change, transformation, a whole new life. Lord, many of us here have had great conversion experiences and wonderful experience being won from the world and brought to you. Some of us here have been brought up in Christian homes and have taken our salvation maybe for granted. Some have not yet come to a place of repentance before you. But Lord, all of us on our discipleship walk need to hear from you afresh and to make right with you on every matter, to be sure that we are up to date and right, and that those things that you want us to repent of or to make restitution over, or where we have slipped in our Christian walk and we do not love you as fervently as we did at first, or fear you, or hate our sin as we once did, we pray, Lord God, that you'd work in us afresh, that we may be revived in our worship, in our devotion, in our service for you, that we could be more effective in your kingdom, in winning the lost and advancing your kingdom. Help us, Lord God, to get these first things first, to be sure that we are right with you. So we pray, Lord God, that you'd lead us, that you'd guide us in our conversations. May the very thoughts of our hearts, may the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. We commit the whole of this camp into your hands, praying, Lord God, that you would lead us and guide us in everything that we do and in how we respond to what is proclaimed. We ask, Lord God, that your will may be done, that your name may be honored. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone have any questions? That is, questions that would edify and benefit everyone here, which you'd like to ask Uncle George while he is with us. We'll have a time of some open questions, and then we will break for tea, and those who want to speak with Uncle George privately can do so. So we're only talking about things that are matters of interest or doctrine that affects anyone here. He has spoken specifically about the need to confess our sins to somebody. This is something that is not taught much in our churches today, although it's very clear in the Bible. So maybe I could start with that, Uncle George. Would you tell us, where in the Bible are we told to confess our sins to another person? Some people say, but I just confess it privately to God. Surely that's enough.
James 5 verse 16. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. So you can be, let me hear, that you can be healed. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Beloved, if you are till tonight in a jail, come out of it. It is not necessary. You can be completely liberated. It is so. I met a girl once. She was so timid she couldn't say a word. And after she came to the Lord and she confessed her sins, the Lord filled her with His Holy Spirit, that she was just a wonderful testimony. The Lord can do it for you, but He will never force you. Never. He is the perfect gentleman. He will never force you. You must come out of your own free will. It's not easy. Some of the things that I had to confess was terrible. I felt of crawling under the mat. But I decided the Lord has done for me a wonderful work. I am going to confess it. Finish and klar. Don't let the devil trick you out of it. He knows the power of a spirit-filled man of God or a woman. He knows it. And he will try his level best to quiet you, that you don't get it out. Whatever you've done. I know of a man of God, his personal dear brother and friend of mine, Michael Ngubane, is a Zulu. He murdered 2 people. And while he was waiting in the jail to be hanged, that was still in the good old days where they hang people, he was converted. And God forgave him. Today he's a spirit-filled man of God. You can be the same. Even if you're a timid girl that sits here that can never even get one word out. I promise you, if you confess your sins and you deal with it and you do restitution, go back on your tracks. There might be hatred against someone. Set it right. you will never regret it. We are now in a time slot in our country that's terrible. Many people just go, they don't even go to church anymore. And God wants to, the workers are few. Don't play around anymore. Decide. Decide tonight. Finish in class. I'm not going to let this camp go away. Perhaps you've been to several camps and you go there with an expectation and you can't get yourself to do it, and then afterwards you go back home with the step to Snibiana. That's good English. With your tail between your legs. That's exactly what the devil wants. He wants to set you up. Let tonight be the last of that. I'm there in my room there. You can come to me. And we can pray together. I know sin, beloved. But I also know the forgiveness of sin. And the freedom that comes with that. It is a wonderful thing. And God, the Holy Spirit, He is sharp. He will immediately prompt you. Blow the whistle. Pow! And you will know it in your conscience. And then I pick up the phone and I phone my counselor. And I know the joy of that, if you prayed with him and God liberates you. You put the phone down and you are full of vuma again. Don't let the devil trick you out of it. Please, don't let the devil trick you out of it again. Let tonight be the finish, the klar. Tonight will be the last of it. There might be some of you that sit in a godly home for years under the covering of your mother and father. But you've never really made a commitment to Christ. And you're always just there, do it goed and goed do it. Stop with that. God wants to use you. You're a lovely young man or a young woman. What is holding you? Or is it boyfriends or girlfriends? Stop with that as well. God will show you the partner of His choice. He will show you. And He never makes mistakes. Wait on God for the right partner. You'll make a mistake if you choose yourself. May God help you. May God help you. It is the prayer of my heart that you will be honest. Become honest. That is all he needs. To sit at his feet and speak to him. He's a gentleman. He's a loving God. He loves us. Speak it out, your weakness. I don't know what is from your past. You might have been molested as a child. You might have been molested as a little girl or a boy. I don't know. But God knows. And He wants to set you, He wants to take you out of that cage. He wants to set you completely free. It's within your hands. I spoke to an old lady a few years ago. She was molested, she was raped by a man one night when she was 18 years old. And she walked all of her life with that hurt in her heart. Terrible thing. The devil was able to put her in a cage for years. She sat with this thing, this hurt. And the pastor, they invited me, and after the service, she phoned me. He phoned me. She phoned him to phone me. And I went there early the next morning. And that old lady, in 80 years, she brought that thing, after all these years in jail, she brought that thing to the light. And I could see before my eyes how God led her out of that jail. Wonderful. You don't have to be in a jail, beloved. You can be a spirit-filled man and woman of God. But because of sin, He will not turn a blind eye to that. He is God Almighty. He is the same today and yesterday and forever the same. He is the same as in the beginning tonight. The devil will try to discredit Him or bring Him down, but He is the same God. And we will stand before Him one day like that, alone. Without your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, or your husband. Alone. And we'll give account to Him. Decide tonight. Don't let the devil trick you out of it again. It is wonderful that you are here. And I have confidence to speak to you straight. because you are here. You didn't come here for a nice time. You came here because you want to search for God. Take your time and use it. It's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing. You'll enjoy Him. Perhaps you've never really got to enjoy Christ. Enjoy Him. We can enjoy Him from a clean heart. If there's nothing between you and God, you can enjoy Him. You'll also get your you'll experience a lot of resistance, but you'll become strong to go against that in Christ. Every day filled with the Holy Spirit, from moment to moment, always at the tip of your seat, waiting for the next opportunity to share your this joy that you have in you. And when you speak to people, you see life. You see life there. It's a wonderful thing. But you've got to deal with the stuff that is between you and Him. Without you telling me straight now, if there's unconfessed sins in your life, you will know it there where you sit. I know that. Because God is yearning after you. He's yearning after your heart. He wants your heart, beloved. He wants you. He wants you to come in a relationship with Him. That you can enjoy Him. That He can send you to work for Him. It's a wonderful thing. It's unique. That day when He calls you to higher service, you can walk in with confidence through those gates. To be with Him forever. This life is short. Stop with it. If there are things that He convicts you of, stop with it. Don't harbor sin. And if you're a married man and you think, now, but the price is high, man. I will have to reverse. I will have to go back on my standard. I will have to go back to my children and my wife. And there's certain things that I've got to stop in this household now. Yeah, it is a high price sometimes. I know that. It's not always easy. It's not a Sunday afternoon picnic. God wants men and women of God with a spine that can stand for Him. Through Him whom He can work. You will be, what is the word? Beautiful word. Julle sal beloon word. Rewarded, thank you. You will be rewarded. Start with your reward tonight. Perhaps you've lost a lot of years already. Just think of it. Sit and calculate the cost now there where you sit. How many years have you lost already? But you can decide in your heart tonight. There's no klaar. I'm going to draw the line. Finished. Tonight will be the last. This is not something great. God, the Holy Spirit, comes in simplicity, and He will lift them out one by one. Remember that thing, my child. Yes, Lord. It's an exciting thing. And you write it down. And He comes with the next. And you write it down. It becomes an exciting experience to write down that the things that He show you. That's where a lovely relationship will start. Things that you've forgotten long time ago will just remind you. And you write it down in honesty and in earnest and in faithfulness. Some stuff that you think that might be there is just gone, forgiven immediately. But He's God, He works in a sovereign way. He might point things out that you've forgotten long ago. Don't hesitate. Don't pull back on one thing. The Lord is sensitive on these matters, beloved. He will look at the way that you listen to Him. He will, the way that you are faithful and you decide, the way that you are soft is a better word. If you are soft and like soft clay in His hands, He will not stop. He will take you right through. He will do wonders in your heart and in your soul. Don't work callously with your soul, beloved. It is a wonderful commodity. And this soul will live forever. Let us not play lightly with it. Michael.
I would like to ask a question, sir.
Sir, yes.
You you speak of confessing our sins to
a brother,
can one's sins be forgiven without confessing it to somebody else, if one confess it directly to God?
I'm referring to a lot of mighty men of God in the past. Calvin. All the great ones. Calvin. Martin Luther. All of them. They did it. It's a wonderful thing. It's not a quasi-Zabantu thing. It's a biblical truth. If you go and you humble yourself, that already shows that your heart is ready for it. You're humbling yourself and you go to a brother. You can ask the Lord. You don't have to come to one of us. No. Ask the Lord. Lord, to whom can I go? I want to open my heart towards whoever you point out to me. When I did it, when I wrote everything down, I said, Lord Jesus, send me someone that I can trust, that is truly a man of God that I can trust. And he is faithful. He sent me someone and I confessed my sins to him. It's a wonderful exercise. It's wonderful. It liberates you. That humbling is a liberation also. It prepares your heart for bigger things. If your heart is soft, he can use you in a peculiar and a wonderful way. You've got to confess your sins one to another. That is only... it is important. It is biblical. It's a biblical truth. Yes, sir.
So I've read many Christian authors and leaders about this issue about confessing your sins to one another. Some say that they say that if you confess your sins to God, God will forgive it. But if you have a problem in a certain area of victory over a specific sin, it is advisable to confess your sin. To share it with somebody else, but not as a rule. I can repent for my sin and confess my sin. And
mechanically. Is that what you're saying? Mechanically. Sorry. Sorry, yes.
But especially if you speak to a lot of counselors about these things, they say it's advisable to confess. If you have a problem with a specific besetting sin in your life, then it's good to share with the counselor about that sin until you get the victory.
Yeah.
There's a specific thing, but not as a rule.
Yeah. It's not a law. No. We've been called to liberty. We must have liberty in Christ. If the Lord show you something, then ask the Lord, Lord, to whom can I go? And he will point out the right man. If you are honest and upright, but is he sincere? The Lord is sincere. He will deal with that thing. And if you don't get victory over it, that's a very important thing. Go back every time. If you slip in that thing, you understand, you're not getting victory, go back to him. Confess it. I say to the people always, don't stop now because you are shy. Go on with it. Until you get victory. You will get later, you'll get so shy that you will stop with that thing. Because you don't want to go back every time. But don't stop by confessing it. We don't want to make rules and laws of that. No. But we want you to be liberated in a godly way.
Sorry, sir, I don't want to get controversial, but you said that you will go back every time because we get shy about it.
Yeah.
For me, in my walk with Jesus Christ, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that frees me from my sin, my faith in his blood to sanctify you.
Yes.
So if I walk with God, and the Holy Spirit convicts me, the moment I had a bad attitude with my dad, or I had a bad attitude with my sister, or I said something ugly, or I even thought something ugly, the Holy Spirit is faithful to convict me. And now I don't habitually go to somebody to confess this maybe problem I have, and then eventually I get tired of confessing it, so I just stop sinning. No. I need the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
To faith in him and the work that he did for me on the cross, and then he comes because I place faith in him. and He does the work in my life. And then obviously afterwards the same situation will be there, same circumstances will be there. Mm. But then it would be like the situation of Job, to be tested and to be proven that I am truly desiring holiness and and then God affirms the work in my life.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. May the Lord help us. Is there anything more that you... Yes, sir?
I just want to ask if you could, that you go back to your accomplice and speak to him about your salvation. And
yes, I did, yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah. That's a very, very good question. Sometimes it is a good... We've got a lady at Kwasizabantu. She died. She became very ill. And she was prayed for, and she eventually died. And the Lord took her on this narrow road. And that was one of the things that she experienced. That there was a young man, she came across him and she asked him, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to heaven." And she said, she felt in her heart, but that is not right. And then she saw there's a rope from his ankle towards another one, and they were connected with this rope. He never went back to that man. He converted. He was in the world. He converted, but he never went back to set things right with him, telling him that he's no more on that road. He repented and is now following the Lord. That is restitution, very important thing. But the big thing is a clean heart before God. Thank you, Peter. Thank you
very much. I think we should just look again at that passage that Uncle George read at the beginning, or just now, in James 5. The context, we didn't read the verses just before it. James 5 verse 13. Notice the community. We live in a very individualistic society, a very me-centered society. But for centuries, in fact for most of the church's history, Christians have thought in sense of being part of a family and a community and part of a church. Not just, as Martin Luther says, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father." We are uniting ourselves with all believers of all times, including the church that is the church triumphant in heaven now, and the church militant on earth, and the church yet to be born. It's an amazing thought. But just listen to this. James 5 verse 13. "Is anyone amongst you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your transgressions, your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Now again, the whole context is amongst one another. Now, we can say, look, I'm alone on a desert island, or I'm in solitary confinement in a prison, and there's nobody else, and I'm the only person here, and there's no one else to speak to. I have to pray to God alone. And of course, God is there and he can hear us. But we are not on a desert island and we're not in a dungeon. We have access. And our human sinful self squirms and seeks to crawl off the altar. We speak about being living sacrifice for God, but the trouble with a living sacrifice is it always crawls off the altar when things get hot. And we will find excuses as to why we should not do the right thing. Well, you know, God knows. Well, God knows my heart. I hear the amount of people who say, "God sees my heart." Well, God knows my motives. Yes, he does. And that should make us tremble in fear and fall on our knees and weep. I am amazed how many people console themselves with the thought that God sees my heart. That thought terrifies me. I don't know how it can comfort somebody to think God sees my heart. What they're suggesting is my heart is pure. Okay, my life and the way I behave towards you and everyone else is bad, but God sees my heart as pure. Well, actually, it's the exact opposite. People think we're much better than we are, but God sees how really selfish, proud, sinful, and vile we can be. And so somebody says, God sees my heart, and thinks that justifies them, is blind. They are spiritually deaf, dumb, and blind to what is going on. No one is good except God alone. If you are satisfied with a shallow existence, you will have a shallow existence. If you want to dig a build a huge building, you've got to dig a deep foundation. The tallest trees, roots go far down, or it'll fall over in the next wind. So if you're satisfied with shallow repentance and shallow commitment, then you don't get maximum blessing for minimum commitment. God gives the best to those who leave the choice to Him. So, when it comes to revival, I don't know of any revival anywhere in history that I have studied or read about or heard about that did not involve public confession of sin. Now, you may be satisfied with an unrevived life. That's fine. You might be satisfied with being a carnal Christian or worldly Christian. But the fact is, in history, you read about the greatest revival that took place in South Africa's history in 1860 under the ministry of Andrew Murray. People were on their knees repenting of the sins. People were confessing to one another, even openly in churches. The one thing that happens in every revival is there is a bringing out of the sins. There are people who have, I know across a bunch of some of these people who had to hire a truck to bring all the things they'd stolen to deliver it back to the people that they'd stolen from. People who brought massive amounts of unacceptable, offensive things to burn it in a fire service. We mean occultic materials, cigarettes, drugs, I mean all sorts of things. There's a lot of people here who could stand up and give testimonies. I hope at some stage Michael will have an opportunity to speak about how God led him to, and one of the more radical, dramatic, extreme examples I've come across. But Michael, would you like to say what God led you to do when He works in your life?
Talk about being put on the spot. I got saved in 2005, September 15th. At 4:15 a.m. I had lived a life of drunkenness and sin, as I'm sure you all know what sin is. I don't want to talk about sin. I was probably living in the world after running away from home for about 7 years. I'd stolen a lot of things. I was living a sinful lifetime and had collected a lot of things which were questionable as to regards to their source, or how did I come about these things. But when I got saved, God led me to destroy these things which were a sin in my life. For example, I used to play guitar with a rock band or a heavy metal band, and the guitar was like my idol. I used to worship that, played almost 24/7. And when I got saved, God led me to destroy my guitar and my amplifier and my effects pedal. I've made a fire and I burnt these things. But then I thought, well, why stop with just the guitar and the effects pedal? There are many of my pieces of my clothing which are not honoring to God. Let me put that on the fire too. So that also went on the fire. And then I thought, but why just these clothes? Because some of the other clothes that I got have been bought with stolen money. So I put them on the fire too. And I ended up burning pretty much everything I owned. I borrowed clothes from my brother. And I stood in borrowed clothes as I burnt everything I owned. My thought in the matter was this. In fact, God led me using this verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I believe it is. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw aside everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run the race that Christ has set out for us. So, motivated by that verse, I thought, you know what, any of these things which I've collected over this time of sin in my life could lead me back. It could be one of those things which entangles. And I got rid of it. I said, I don't want any of that which belongs to the world. Now that I'm a new creation, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And this verse was real to me too. And I thought, seeing I am now a new creation, why should this new creation be clothed in things which come from the past? And why should I rely on things which I've earned in the past to support my life as a new creation? I got rid of it all. And I said, if God wants me to wear clothes, well, let Him give me clothes. If God wants me to play a guitar, let Him give me a guitar. And I put my faith and my trust in God. So God has led me to do this. And I set my foot on that path and I did not go back. I was literally burning my bridges. I said, I've crossed over here. I'm not going back. And to make sure I'm not going back, I'm going to destroy the bridges behind me. I'm going to burn my ships at the coast and just head forward. I even had a tricycle, which is a three-wheeler, half a motorbike, half a VW Beetle thingy, which used to be my mode of transport. I burned that thing too. People said, why don't you sell it and give the money to the poor? I said, man, I don't want anyone to benefit from my life of sin. Let it burn and let it stay where it belongs and let God be glorified from now on. Thank you.
Does anyone have anything else to say or ask before we close? For everybody who's a frustrated, confused refugee from a holiness movement, there are thousands who can give testimonies of, I came to the end of myself, I got serious with God, I confessed this, I got freedom, I got healing, deliverance, new creation. So I'm sorry for those people who must, but on the one hand, but on the other hand, and tie themselves in knots. But there's others of us, and I'm thinking of those of us in the room who came from a secular background, we're unsaved, and we know it. I know the date and the hour when I was saved as well. Uncle George knows the date and the hour. Mike knows the date and the hour he got saved. Because we weren't brought up in the situation where we always were Christians. I know the date that I stopped being a pagan when I became a Christian. Now, some of us have that. Others of you, you've got a more frustrating or complex situation. But let's not get tied up into that. The point just is, those who want freedom must know this is the way. We surrender before God. We confess these. And we go to someone who can help us because we are not self-made people. And I think there's a real humility in having to own up to somebody on this earth that this nice exterior that we might put out because we're religious people and good people. I'm a good person, sort of thing, even though the Bible says no one is good. That facade falls away and we are honest and real. And God blesses that. And there's so many Christians. I think we've got millions of Christians who are effectively spiritually crippled because they're compromising with sin. Or they might confess privately this and, but they just keep getting, they are not free. And so I know that there are people both in history and in revivals and in the Bible and in place that I've seen revivals, such as in Romania, at Kwasabunch Mission Zululand, real revivals, we have seen people who've got these testimonies, and these testimonies have several things in common. The law of God, the fear of God, hatred of sin, repentance of sin, confession of sin, restitution, breaking free, often make a pile and burning the things, breaking, changing. How many of you would have seen the film Fireproof? Fireproof's an excellent example of this man's got a problem. He takes a baseball bat and he smashes that computer because that to him is his idol. Michael decided to do it more dramatically. He burned the things up. I mean, even his motorbike. Yow. That's serious. Rene.
I can also say, just from my personal experience, there can be two sides. You can do all those things and confess your sins, but without a genuine heart, because I grew up on a mission station, and did it because I was told that's the right thing to do, but had no relationship with God. I would read my Bible every day, I'd pray every day, I'd confess my sins every day, I'd go to church every day because we had service every day. And at the end of all that, I only got saved 4 years ago. So there was a lot of confessing of my sins, which was only a legalistic thing. And it was because I was working for my salvation. But then when God saved me and changed my heart, it does not mean that if I ask God to forgive me of the sin, that He's not going to forgive me if I don't go through a counselor. I don't think that's what Uncle George was saying. But when you have sin that you're struggling with, you all struggle with sin, and you go to somebody and you say to them, pray with me because this sin is in my life and I need help with it, it gives you, it's even psychologists in the secular world will tell you that it does give you a release to speak to somebody about any problem that you're struggling with. It gives you a release. It also helps you to be accountable to somebody with regard to something. So sometimes when you have weakness in an area, it is helpful to go to somebody and to say, can you pray with me with this, with regard to this, and that. It doesn't mean that by praying with that person, now only God can forgive you. He can forgive you without you going through that person. But for the healing process to take place in terms of breakthrough spiritually, oftentimes when you, that the act of actually going and opening this up for somebody else to know about, somebody obviously that God has shown you that you trust, that act of opening it up oftentimes helps you to get victory over that, because now it's no longer the secret thing that you are hiding. It's a subconscious thing as well. So.
Thank you for that. Okay. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you for everything that we've been challenged with, confronted with. We praise you, Lord God, for the absolute assurance we have that there is freedom in you and only in you. And we pray, Lord God, that you would set each one of us free from anything, any sin that holds us back or hinders us, that we may run the race, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. Thank you for the refreshments we can enjoy. May you refresh us, guide our conversation, and lead us into your perfect way, if we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.